God, he begins to reveal his will. He gives us desire to do things for him. I know, you know, and I was thinking about Monty and them, and I was thinking about how that, you know, they started here and give their hearts to the Lord, the Hope family, you know, pretty much, and serving the Lord. And now you see Zach. I mean, he, you know, things have not went well with him for the last year, close to or whatever. But God brings things full circle. Romans 8:28 says that he works all things together for the good to those that love him and to those that are called according to his purpose. And you know, and I was thinking about, I mean, he came to me, you know, he's wanting to go back, do the drums and different things, you know. And I thought, you don't want to do the things of God unless God begins to give you a desire, you know. And once he begins to give you a desire and you begin to pursue him and thank him and all that, look what he would just be rebuked, devoured for Zach, you know. I mean, it could have cost a lot of money, praise God. And you know, and I was thinking about it. I was thinking about his whole family, and I'm very thankful for all of you. I'm not just boasting them up or anything like that, but they've been some dedicated warriors. You know, I'm talking about in ministry, stepping up. And I mean, April stepped up, never played the keyboard in her life, you know, and felt like God had a desire, give her a desire and all of that stuff, you know. And they're a perfect picture of God taking our lives, you know, and as we walk with him, begin to open doors and maneuver us into the things of God, you know. And so, but I'm thankful for all of you, but I want to give y'all honor, give honor where honor is due, you know. And I mean, I've seen them, you know, believe God in some tough times, and I've seen God deliver them in some tough times, you know. And that's what we preach, this Bible right here. And if we train ourselves up in it, praise God. But how many knows that circumstances are not always, when you have things happen, it's not ever a good time. I mean, I've never found a good time for my car to blow up. I've never found a good time, you know, for things, unexpected things, when you got life planned, you're going along, you believe in God, you're going after God, and then bam, something happens. I have never, and I'm saying this for a reason, I've never seen a good time for anything like that to happen. But God spoke to me back, I guess, 25 years ago, and I was not a flexible person. You know, I mean, when things didn't go my way, I broke, man. I mean, you know, I just dealt with the issue at hand, and usually it was wrong choices and all of that stuff. And God spoke to me, and I'm telling you this for your own benefit. You know, God spoke to me, and God said, I could see the wind blowing little saplings over. I mean, it would just blow them over, and when the wind would quit blowing, they would just come back up, you know, and they would just stand back up, you know. And then I've seen big trees, you know, freeze and the wind blow and break. They're not flexible. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if you don't learn to be flexible, he said, you must learn to be flexible. He said, if you don't, he said, you'll always break. You know, and so I started planning on being flexible, you know. And you have opportunities to be flexible. What does that mean? You got your own plans, you get a phone call, and things are changing. Something happens, and you got to change. And in business and ministry, I found that you better be flexible. Come on, somebody. See, God wants us to learn how to be flexible. What that means is the Bible says, delight ourselves in the Lord. Be one with him, you know, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. Commit our ways unto him, and he'll bring it to pass. An unselfish person will be flexible. If you just learn not to be self-centered and self-willed, and we don't do it being mean or ugly, I'm just saying, you know, I've not got to have it my way, God. God, I'm going to yield to you. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like having to go out of my way to help people and blah, 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 you know. But Lord, whatever your desire is, whatever your will is, you know, that's what I want, praise God. How many knows we're living in a time where many of God's people respond the wrong way in these kind of things, you know, and the world is going to be expected to, but that's why they don't see God's glory, you know. I mean, just like Zach gonna crank the car up, and all of a sudden, you know, he feels, I mean, he's moved by the Holy Spirit. Ain't no question to me what happened. You know, he's moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, he's heard things. He's been in church. Somebody say in church. I mean, he's been under the anointing for 10 years. I mean, since he was a little boy, you know, and all of that stuff. And that now coming to he's a young man coming on up in the Lord and things of the Lord. And he acknowledged him. He acknowledged God. Lay hands on it. Let's pray over it. I bless everything I've got. Why? Because I plan to see God's goodness on my old school stuff. I plan to have wisdom in the new school stuff, praise God. I plan to prosper, you know. And I mean, you've got a lot of things coming at you all the time. Your thoughts, your emotions, the TV. I mean, you know, it's been really, really bad, the media, since COVID started. I mean, it's really, really been bad. And it's not got any better to the point to where I'm not sure if James Spann knows what's going to happen next week in the weather. I'm not sure if he's sure anymore. And so my intelligence has to come. Now, I made that little, I mean, I really like James Spann, and I wasn't knocking him at all. But I said that, you know, because our intelligence has to come from the Lord. From the Bible. Our wisdom has to be from the Lord and from the Bible. We must plan to see God's goodness. I'm saying it again over my business. Thank you, Lord, for bigger jobs, less work, and more money, Lord. Thank you. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my life and all of these that's coming in that are our enemies, praise God. I thank you, Lord, that I've got Psalms 91. I've got the angels of God that are surround me, watching over our church, watching over the church. Why? I plan to see God's goodness. Now, on the other hand, I could start worrying. I was thinking about it this evening. I don't worry about anything, and I'm not bragging on me. The Bible says not to worry in there, and I took that scripture, and I meditated that scripture. I got that scripture down on hurricanes and tornadoes. And I mean, I've not really ever been afraid of anything other than stuff like that. You know, but fear is fear. I don't care what area it's in. You know, and I've taken that scripture, you know, praise God, and putting it down on the inside of me. And I look, and when I do my hair, I just don't see no gray. And I thought about it because I got this statement, you know, if gray hair is from worrying, I won't never have any. Now I've had people scoff that, but how you worry, you know. Come on, tell us the truth. I'm telling you the fact. But God, I refuse to worry. I learned how not to worry. Now, does it try to come? Yes. But I plan to see God's goodness in my hair. Hallelujah. I even confess that my hair is not going to get much thinner, praise God. And if it does, it does, but I'm believing to keep my hair. Amen. Why? I plan to see God's goodness. The Bible says all things are possible to those that what? Believe. All things are possible. Everything in that Bible is possible and does happen to those that believe. But I've lived in this world, and it's not just COVID and now Israel and now this administration. It has been something ever since I got saved. If all of that got straightened out, they would be something else. I'm looking forward. I was thinking about it today. So if you are a worrier, you need to stop that. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about if your car. Somebody in my family called me here a while back. They only had that one of their vehicles that blowed up. And kept saying, well, I'm just worried if this one tears up, and my husband don't get to go to work. He's almost about ready to retire, and he'd lose his job. And I'd be like, well, what if it don't tear up? I said, are you worrying? Is your worrying changing it? See, the Lord asked me one time, he said, how many car payments has worrying paid for you? Not one. How many house payments has worrying paid for you? None. Fact of the matter, worrying is you're in fear. You're not in worry is a sure sign you are not in faith. I mean, it should be the indicator, just like you're going down the road and all of a sudden your engine light comes on. That is an indicator that something just happened. It needs serviced. Well, when you are in fear, that needs to be your service engine light. To say, I know what it is. It's not a glow plug and it's not O2 sensor. It's an unbelief sensor. And I've got to get rid of this right now. Right now in the name of Jesus, I cast it. That's how you do it. I cast this care over on the Lord, and I will not fear. I will not worry in the name of Jesus. God shall supply all of my needs. Why? You are planning to see God's goodness now. You are combating the lies of the enemy or your natural thoughts or the natural realm, praise God. Hallelujah. And when we do that, then we're in faith. You're staying in faith. The Bible says you're in the Spirit. You have to come out of the Spirit if you're born again. You have to come out and get in this flesh nature. You have to come out and get in that realm that is not faith. You have to come out. The Bible says you are in the Spirit if you've been born again. He said, walk in that Spirit and you will not give in to that fear, lust of the flesh. Now, I'm saying it with ease here, but I'm telling you that worry is contrary to faith. It is the opposite of faith. Well, what if the United States gets bad? What if it don't? What if God shows up? What if he puts off a supernatural atomic bomb? I'm talking about a supernatural move of God. Right? Bradley McDonald was preaching one time, and he was working down in Birmingham, and he's on the job, and the Lord tells him to go pray in tongues. So he gets off this big earth mover, goes to the bathroom, he prays in tongues and all of that stuff, and a little later on, it might have been the same day or whatever, I believe it was the same day, they had put off explosive in. They're having to bust up rocks. They build an I-65 down there. So they're having to bust up big rocks and move mountains or whatever they're doing. And they had put off an explosive. And one of them didn't go off in this place. And he had walked up there. And just as he walked up there, the backhoe went down, going to dig some of it out right over that, and it went off. And it blowed the backhoe bucket. And the big boulders would have went on. And the Lord told him, he said, see, I had you praying and not in your own understanding. I had you praying in the Spirit over that. See, that's why we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when it feels like a ritual to me, I'll change it up. I'll be like, nah, not getting in a rut with that. I'm going to pray in tongues, but I'm going to make sure I'm connecting in my spirit. And not just, I've got that gift. No, that gift, the Bible says that when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand it. But that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. I'd prayed in 2008 and I just felt like there's more on the inside, there's more. I mean, it wasn't like the ministry was getting stale or anything, but it's just like, there's got to be more. And so Teresa does all the mowing. And so, now I'm believing God to see his goodness, but I don't know what is going on. See, when you feel that longing, and you don't take it as something's wrong. Sometimes that longing in there, that desire for more, we know the difference than grieving and longing. I went to Florida one time and I was dating Teresa and she's all that was on my mind, Johnny. And I couldn't wait to get back to Alabama. I was longing. longing to see her, missing her, standing in the shower crying, you know, at night, writing her a letter every day. I'm only 9 hours, but it felt like I was a world away. But at that longing, I'm talking about that longing. That's what I'm talking about, that longing for more of the Lord, that longing for more that God has. There's more that God has. I want to go deeper, like you were feeling, that this stuff is God. Well, you know, I told Mom, I said, now, Mom, I said, when I get in this afternoon, you better be packed. I said, I'm going to Alabama. It was Friday. Oh, we'll wait till in the morning. I said, you'll be staying here with your son. I said, he can put you on a bus and you can take as long as you want to. I said, I'm going home. Well, I got there that evening, the car was packed. I said, it's a good thing, Mom. And I worked all to work 13 hours, and I hit the road and drove till 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went straight on over to Necker. I didn't even stop. I let Mom out and I left. I'm going to about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I found that longing. Hey, baby. Oh, that's the way I feel about Jesus. That's the way I feel about the Lord. You know, when you hook up with Him, when you're hooking up with Him, that's how you feel. You feel like, you know, you're being fulfilled. But anyways, I told Teresa this day. I said, look, I want to mow tomorrow. I said, I want to mow. I said, I feel this longing, and I can't find it. I don't know what it is. I said, so I'm just going to, I thought to myself, I'm going to pray in tongues the whole 4 or 5 hours. Take a long time to mow it. Had a little or more then. And so, I mean, I run out of understanding. God, I don't know what's wrong with me. God, I don't know what it is, God. But God, I don't know, God, what it is. I mean, I've run out of something to say, Johnny. And so I just start praying in tongues. And I pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. I don't care if half of the church don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That don't make Him not real. That don't make that gift not real. That does not make that gift insufficient. That does not make that gift any less powerful. As for me and my house, like Jeremiah, I'm going to be filled with it. I'm going to pray in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, I don't come in here praying in tongues because that's not a gift. That's not not to be interpreted. And so I'm praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I'm feeling in here. I'm feeling in here if something's happening. I mean, I'm praying in tongues. I'm feeling it in here. I ain't heard nothing yet, but I feel it. I feel good in my spirit, man. I start feeling good and strong in my spirit, man. You know, and I'm like, whoo, it's going to come. It's going to come. I'm gonna know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit in here. He said, I want you to start an internet ministry. And I opened my mouth and I said, Satan, shut up. I bind you in the name of Jesus. There's not going to be no computer in my church. I've done seen computers ruin people's lives. Had them chat rooms and all kind of stuff connecting and people running off to other states and getting in trouble and blah, 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 you know, and all that. And I thought, nope, there's not going to, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. There's not ever going to be a computer in that church. You know, because I come out where, you know, out where the on the streets, you know, there ain't no power, and they're saying shut the streets off and blah, 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 and tell them it's going to be next Tuesday. And I thought about incidents in the Bible where Jesus didn't have microphones. He didn't have no electricity, but God, but He preached to multitudes. His voice, I believe, was elevated by the Holy Ghost. Carried it for miles and miles if need be. And so that was my thinking, Johnny. We having that. If God ain't big enough without the internet, well, we don't need it. Well, I kept praying, and then when I would say that, I would feel grieved. Every time I'd say it, I'd feel grieved, and I'd be like, what is this? So I thought, I'm praying in tongues again. Satan just interrupted me. So I prayed in tongues. I heard it 2 or 3 times. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, glory to God, that's you, Lord. Okay, Lord, that's against me. See, When the Lord's wanting you to move somewhere and it's against you, it's not really against you. That's why a lot of soldiers don't move in. Christians don't move in. Well, I wouldn't give them a time of day. They've been cussing Jesus and everything. Well, how do you know that God ain't dealt with their heart and now it's time for them to get born again and they ain't fixing to be that same person? See, we can't just look in the natural and give up on people and give up on things and give up on your ministry because things are not happening. God has us in a process. We got to believe to see His goodness and don't have to understand everything, but just move when He says move. And He takes us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, from one level of faith to another, from one level of victory to another one, from one level of healing to another one. My body's got to line up. Your body's got to line up. Well, I've done a lot of stuff for myself. Don't kill your faith on account of it. Start believing. Start pleading the blood. Praise the Lord. You know, just like I'm going through a process now, I'm going to a doctor Monday. They done forgot about me up yonder. See, the doctors will forget you, but Jesus won't. He'll sustain you. The Bible says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in infirmities, sickness, weakness, trials, hallelujah, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Somebody that ain't strong, somebody that's not believing to see God's goodness will be wounded. There's no two ways about it. And so I'm like, glory to God. I didn't even want to finish mowing. Now I'm mowing. Getting on my nerves. It's taking a long time. It's dusty, man, and it's bumpy out there. It's over, you know. I felt like it's over. And I mean, it was hard for me to finish mowing the yard, but I finished it up, and I thought, I won't do that again. Because once I got that breakthrough, this is boring now. And so I'm all excited. I'm like, oh, glory to God. I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He spoke that to me back under 7 months after I was born again. So I'm like, when my knee's supposed to get a jet plane, I'll get a jet plane. But God, I'm going on a jet plane because I can't figure no other way to go under. That's my mind. And there's no other way to go into all the world other than I got to get up. I'm not driving a bus. I rode a bus from Bartow, Florida one time, and it took me nearly 2 days to get down here. And I'm like, I'm not going to be away from Teresa preaching that long now, Lord. And she ain't going with me. She's not notorious for going to evangelizing with me. You know, got criticized for that because she's supposed to be a piano player. I mean, used to, if you had a keyboard up there, you're the devil. If you ain't got a big piano that takes 8 people to move it around, I mean, you ain't of the Lord. I mean, that kind of mentality is not good. Just like with the internet. Well, you know what? 2008, I got all excited, boy, and I'm like, glory to God, this is God. So now God's anointing will come on it, and God will keep it, and God will make it holy, you know. He'll set it apart, and it'll be used for the Lord and all of that. I mean, I had a vision of it. Well, I'm excited, and I'm coming to church that Sunday, and I'm going to tell the vision. I'm telling you this for a reason. Whatever God's put in your heart to be healed, to have your house paid off, to get, I mean, a good job, you know, have a good future, whatever God's put in your heart, you got to go after it and believe to see the goodness of God and keep your mouth lined up with your vision, even if it has to be Scripture. Just Scripture coming out of your mouth. Hell, they'll think I'm a Fruit Loop. So what? You'll be a fruity, victorious warrior. If the world wants to call you fruity, good. I'm fruity. If being anointed is fruity, I'm a fruity one. If being healed and strong and joyous and enjoying the works of my hand is fruity, well, I'm fruity. We got a fruity church. Hey, fruit. That's good, ain't it? Fruity. We look at fruity in a different way there. I just had a revelation. We're fruity. We bear fruit here. We're fruity. Hallelujah. I just received that. Praise God. Well, you know, I come here and I'm all excited. I'm like, yes, glory to God. God's opening up a worldwide ministry to us. Black God, hallelujah. And so I come up here, and a guy comes in. He slides in on the back pew back there. Praise God, and I start preaching and telling the vision. And he goes to sleep. The dude sleeps through the whole preaching back there on the back pew. He's on the back row back there. He sleeps through the whole thing, Mac. And I'm having to keep my mind cut off. I wanted to tell somebody, come back and wake that dude up, man. What do you think he is? Come in here and sleep throughout the whole service. Man, I can't be that boring. He was in a trance. The dude got in the spirit back there. The Holy Spirit. And while I preached and everything, and when I got done, he just woke up, like, all of a sudden, you know, opened his eyes, like, I'm awake now, you know. And then he stands up. He said, the Lord has sent me here today. He said, the Lord, you told about the vision, you know, about the website and everything. And I done checked it out 2 or 3 days. It's going to cost us $14,000 to build it. 14 grand, and then we was going to have to pay them to run it. If we wanted a sermon up, we had to send it to them. Then they had to, you know, so they charged so much a year for that. So I don't remember what it was. But I'm like, I don't care what it costs, Lord. This is your problem. See, whenever God puts things on your heart, don't go to figuring out how you go take care of it. Don't figure out how you believe in God. You believe in God for a job, and it's an hour off, and you believe it's God, and you don't start worrying about how is God going to be able to take care of you. He will, but supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ. He will make sure that all things work together for your good, because your heart is fixed, trusting in Him the whole way. You might not feel like it, but when you're looking to the Lord, you are actually in faith. You trusted Him. I prayed this evening. I said, God, I thank You that my whole family will be saved and go to church somewhere and start serving and getting hooked up, Lord, wherever You want them to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, he stands up and he said, I build websites. He said, I run the whole city of Jefferson County from a computer. I don't know what all he run, man. He's dead now. He's gone now. And then he said, and the Lord sent me here. He said, and I'm going to build your website free. And then I told him, I said, we want to run it. I'm thinking all the way now, Mac. I want it all. He said, well, I'll have to think about that, you know, and I don't know how would, because everything was crypted and coded somehow. I don't know about all that. I just know that's, I'm like, just put it in English, you know. But somehow, well, anyhow, he said, okay. He said, we just have to believe God. He said, I'm going to build it for you free. He said, and I'm going to build it where you can run it. I said, okay. And so I'm out praying one day, and I'm feeling something, and I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what it is, but here I am. I'm open to you. And it was about the internet. Well, he calls me, and he's all frustrated because he can't figure something out on there. And he's calling me, and I'm like, dude, I don't even know how to log on. But see, we got an anointing. We got an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and we know all things. We might not know it here, but the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and we know all things. We can know things that we don't even know and come out of our mouth and be God and figure things out. And he said, I'll run into this, blah, blah, whatever it was, I don't remember. And I'm looking on the inside, and God said, he said, tell him to simplify it. He's complicated. I thought, okay. So I says, hey, man. I said, just make it simple. Do everything simple. Just simplify. I just spoke what God said. I didn't say, well, I was praying, looking on the inside. You ain't got to do all that. I just said, simplify it. Just make it simple. When I did, the anointing came on him down yonder in Jefferson County. He said, I just realized how to do it. Man, that was easy. And I said, well, praise God, then we'll talk to you soon. Hurry, get it up. You know, praise God. So see, whatever the Lord has, I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about your life, your vision, your future, you know, your body, your marriage, you know, your kids, your grandkids, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm walking there with Aubrey a while ago, and I take opportunities, man. And I looked at her and I said, hey, I said, did you ever give your heart to Jesus?
Yeah, Papa, you know I did.
I said, you done got saved?
Well, yeah, you know I did.
And I said, well, I said, okay then. I mean, I said, if you sure you give your heart to you. Papa, you know I did.
Now, Aiden, I think he did, but he done quit.
Think he done quit. Praise God. I'm going to make sure they know Jesus. Just call that pop, they out there with Papa in the garden and all that, and I talk about the Lord. No, they don't get them saved. They got to accept Jesus Christ. They got to accept that atonement that was paid for their sins. It's like I told Travis one time. I said, son, you've lived off of my anointing. I said, but now you're going to have to find and walk in your own anointing. You know, you being a pastor's son, a preacher's son, and going to church all your life, that's not going to make you right with the Lord. I had to make sure he understood that Jesus has to be personal. And he does, and he did, and he's a fine young man, serving the Lord, kids up in the Lord. Now, he's a little carnal in the way, some ways with the kids that I don't like, but I don't never tell him. Well, this is my preaching now. Don't be carnal with them. I'm under an anointing right now. Any other time, I'll be up in your business, and I'm not in your business. His life ain't none of my business. I try to mind my own business, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? I mean, you got to believe to see God's goodness. I was thinking about y'all young kids at school. Why don't you fast once a week? Why don't you? Why would you not? Why don't you fast? I mean, just get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Lord, I serve you, and God, I'm going to set this time aside for you, Lord. I'm going to fast that, Lord, I'll progress in school, and I'll make straight A's, God. I'll have an anointing to advance. I mean, look, it's not a religious thing. This is you, planning on seeing the goodness of God in school. Hallelujah. I mean, do it. I mean, you won't starve to death, I promise. If you do, call me up, and if I'm anywhere around, when you feel like the fast is over, I'll come bust you with $20 and you go buy you a Big Mac. Hallelujah. I'll encourage you. Praise God. Hallelujah. The more that you fast, the less your flesh will fight you from it. But the less you fast, your spirit, you want to, and your heart, you want to, but your flesh will be more dominant in that area. And your willpower is not enough to serve God. It's not in power, your power or your might, but it's in the Spirit of the Lord. And once you start putting your trust in Him, doing that, and fasting, I'm telling you to change your life. I fast every week. Last week I didn't because I felt like it was ritualistic. You know what I'm saying? I didn't feel like, I was feeling kind of ritualistic here. And I thought, but I want that anointing Wednesday night. I want the anointing Sunday. And I thought, yeah, but that religious way there, it's got to be a heart thing. When you get up, God, I set this time aside, Lord, to get closer to you, Lord, to draw on your power and your spirit, Lord, to be open to you, to be more sensitive to you. You know, fast for these that you undo heavy burdens. And that you break every yoke, hallelujah. Praise God. Fasting is a wonderful thing. I've been doing it for over 30 years, right around 30 years, praise God. Do I like it? Nah, it ain't too bad now. I mean, it's part of my serving Lord, you know. It's just something my mind's made up to, you know, that I'm going to do it, praise God. And you know what? I have seen awesome miracles. I believe because of my fasting for ministry and different things. I've seen it in my business. I mean, you know, things happen. Things would happen. It'd be like, it's because I've been seeking you. It's because fasting is a part of seeking the Lord. And the Bible says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door. Ask and you shall receive. See, fasting's a part of you seeking the Lord. I mean, that's just, you know, and he said, if you seek, you'll find. And you know, if I was driving a truck or something like that, it would be more of a challenge because you got hour after hour after hour. You know, you pass the store and store after. I believe if I drove, you know, or wasn't doing something, you know, it would be more challenging. But you know what? Even if it was, I would lean on the anointing. I would lean on His ability. See, we don't serve God. You won't serve Him in your own ability. You got to go in His ability, in His name. Hallelujah. Bradley preached a sermon one time, and I was facing a lot of things, and I was looking at the things, you know, and I really wasn't acknowledging God, not meaning to. I mean, we cannot acknowledge, not meaning to, not being rebellious, just, you know, caught up in life and caught up in things and things going on and all of that stuff. And I went to church one Wednesday night. Somebody say, church. I'm big on church, Mac. Changed my life. Still changing my life right now. You know? And he's preaching, you know, and I'm sitting there. And he said, never see your circumstances without God in it. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what did he just say? So he said it again. He said, never see you're in trouble and God is not involved in your trouble. He said, always see God in your situations. Changed my life, Johnny. I left there, blessed God, and I'm telling you, I thought, glory to God. Never thought about that. You know, God's with me in the truck. I was driving the truck at that time. God is with me, you know, and He's in here. He's really with me. God is with me. And then I would get in trouble. I dropped sheetrock on a truck cab. That my boss built this truck, and he was building it for me to drive. You know, 13-speed, man. I mean, sent to California and bought a cab. I mean, this thing was old-school international back in the 90s, you know. But it was nice. Red interior on the inside, white cab, you know, just really nice, you know. Had me a nice radio put in it and everything. And I brought a thing of sheetrock, going to put it in the window, and the sheetrock fork fell off, and it crushed the cab. And I'm sitting there, and this was after he had preached that sermon. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God! I'm a dead man. My boss was just like that. He was like a little Tasmanian devil boy. I mean, he'd get you, boy, good. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a dead man. Like that, and everybody looked, and they said, oh, you're a dead man. You're going to be a dead man. Boy, you're going to be dead. I said, y'all shut up. I said, I said, my God will deliver me. I said it. And I'm like, he said, don't see none of my bad stuff without God in it. And I thought, God's here. I thought, God, you're here, and you're going to have to help me. I need some help on this. And I said, I just trust you, Lord. And they started rapping. We got it off, and I got the cab back before I could haul it back to the house. And, you know, the shop and everything. And so I told them, I said, they said, Dad's going to kill you. They know how he is too. You know, my brothers and them and even me, if we're standing out on the yard, you know, and we hear the double doors swing open, he's coming out, he just made this distinct sound. There wouldn't nobody be standing on the yard. Everybody splits. It's clean. He'd come out there. Where's everybody at? We're like, yeah, we're over here, Jack. Yeah, we're working over here, you know. Well, I tell them heathens sitting over there, praise God. I said, y'all watch my God. I said, y'all can say that all you want to. I said, but I was going to commit suicide. And I start preaching to them. I was going to commit suicide, and he showed up. I said, you know, and if you made me mad, I'd shoot you, and y'all know it. I said, now I won't. I love y'all. So you just watch my God. And that's what I would say. You just watch my God show up for me. I was doing away with all that negativity. They're like, yeah, we'll see if God does. And I said, well, we'll see if he does. I said, I don't have to see if he does. I know he will. Well, they went on, praise God, and they come and told me that the insurance people wanted to talk to me and tell what happened. They give me a story that I was going to have to tell. And I told them, I told my brother, I said, I'm not telling him that now. That's not true. I can't. I said, I just can't do it. I want to. And I used to would. And I'd make Jack pay me a couple hundred dollars to do it. I said, but I just can't right now. I said, I'm serving Jesus. I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, you go back and tell him now, or I'm going to tell him. He goes back and tells him. He come back out, and there was a country song at that time. So it said something like, this is my story, and I'm sticking to it, which I didn't listen to country back then. If I'm going to do it, listen, you know, rock and roll, man. Let's get down that dragon stuff, you know. But anyways, he come back out, and he said, that's his story, and you're sticking to it. I said, this is my story, and I'm going to stick to it. I said, you best not make me talk to that insurance people. I said, because I'm going to tell them that I dropped that on that hood, and that's what happened. Well, you know what, he said, well, you know, you're going to lose the job. I said, whatever. I said, I'm not going to quit Jesus for this job. I used to quit without Jesus. Now I got him, and I'm not. I said, but it is what it is. I told him, I said, you watch my God deliver me. Now, I've got confidence at this time. I don't know what happens when we get older. We lose it. We start losing that confidence. Don't do it. Don't lose that confidence. The older you get in the Lord, don't do it. Just don't do it. That confidence is what he delivered you with back under. Well, I go on, praise God. Now, what I was doing, didn't even know what I know now. I was expecting to see the goodness of God. That's what you're doing when you do these, what the world and unbelieving Christians think is radical. It's not radical, it's biblical. And in biblical, people get the radical, God showing up. He is radical. I mean, anybody that can move mountains, anybody that can roll back a river, I'd call that a little radical. Anybody that can drive the Jordan River, anybody that can turn the river into blood, that's what you call radical. And we just operate in a little of him down here. Well, go on, praise God. And the day that the insurance company was showing up, we're there, trucks are lined up, praise God, to come in to deliver. And I'd park my truck out we parked it in the middle of this big place. We loaded it there. There was room to get around it with forklifts and stuff. And we would park them in a line there and load them that morning or the night before, sometimes the night before. Well, anyways, I don't remember if it was loaded or not, but this truck comes in and comes around through there. I don't know how he didn't see it. It's in the middle of the big parking lot, and he comes in, and he jackknifes all of a sudden, and we're standing there watching him, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, he goes, and tore the hood off. I said, glory to God, glory, hallelujah. I said, did y'all see God? They're like, what? That wasn't God. That was that truck. I said, I told y'all yesterday that God, I'm taking a stand and God would deliver me. I said, and God delivered me today. I said, you can call that not a miracle if you want to, but I was believing to see the goodness of God, believing to see God deliver me. I said, and you saw him deliver me. He delivered me, Johnny. Bless God, I got a brand new cab. I didn't even get chewed out. But I contributed that. I contribute that today. It's no different today. Believe to see the goodness of God. Now, we read the other night, the other morning or whenever it was, that we are peculiar, not weird. We're not weird Christians. You got people that's weird and flaky and all of that out there about the Bible and different things and prophesy stuff that they ain't really heard from the Lord. They prophesy things that they know about people. They go prophesy something to them, it don't happen, and then it discourages people. That's why, you know, I don't go around prophesying to you. I know a lot of y'all stuff and I can tell you things. But that's not my job. My job is to get you to hear the Lord, get you to plead for his goodness, and get you to engage in your personal walk with the Lord, and you will be the one prophesying. You'll be the one operating in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll be the one laying hands on sick and seeing them recover. You'll be the one praying and believing for people, and then God shows up. You'll be the one when you should get in trouble and God delivers you. You'll be the one. See, I remember especially Teresa. I mean, she'd be like, man, if I can just get to church and Brad pray for me, I'll make it. You know, that there was a season that happened. And then she comes down here and God says, well, ain't nobody going to pray for you there. I mean, you know, or whatever. I would, but I'm just saying. Well, she had to learn to get weaned off of that. Get weaned off of that need for other people to pray for you and your pastor. Nothing wrong with it. But she had to get weaned. And you know, and now, I mean, she gets started. I'm like, good Lord, she don't need no prayer now. She needs to shut down a little, turn that knob down a little. Which is a good thing. But you know what happened? Believing God to help her. She believed God to help her. I believe God to help us, praise God. So you know, we are God's own special people, he says. Peter over there. Peculiar. So don't let people, and the Bible says, I mean, some people say, well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. That's not so. That is not in the Bible. God, now what they mean by that, I want to guess, is my interpretation of that is God works in ways we don't think about. He works in ways that we wouldn't think about. But that's not mysterious, because God knows everything about everybody. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everybody, and everything that God wants us to know, he knows. So don't get that thinking, oh, God's just mysterious. Had somebody to tell me one time there, God sent me to somebody's house, and I said, okay, Lord, to pray for them and give them a word. He'd give me a word. He didn't do that all the time, but just certain times he'd give me a word for people, you know. And so I told the Lord on the way over there, I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm going. I said, but if the husband's not there, I'm not stopping. I'm not staying, you know. And normally he would not be there. He would not be there. So I drive over there and knock on the door and, yeah, come on in. Go in there. And I didn't know, but they're in the middle of fixing to lose their house and everything. They're fixing to lose everything. I didn't really know it. I knew they were, you know, going through some things. Who don't? Don't Christians go through stuff? Going through is normal. Just don't stop in the mud. Go on through. He says, walk through that valley. Don't camp out in that valley. Don't set up a tent in that trial. Don't camp out and let everything get in the tent there, praise God, so to speak. Well, I go in there, sit down, and Ned remodeled this thing, bought it and remodeled it. Ned overloaded herself financially, you know, borrowing money and bought a couple, three motorcycles in the loan and, you know, just taking advantage of the loan and everything, and then things got a little tight financially, and they'd strapped themselves. But they were believers. And God told me on the way over, he said, tell them they don't have to lose nothing. So I go in there, and I sit down, praise God. And I said, well, I said, you know, the Lord's really sent me over here. I said, the Lord wants me to tell you, and they hadn't started telling me that. I said, the Lord told me to tell you, you don't have to lose nothing. Just believe him. Just bear down. And they started saying, well, you don't understand. You don't understand. We owe this, and this payment's this, and this payment's this, and this payment's this, and this payment's this. And I said, no, you don't understand what I just said. I said, I'm not promising you nothing. I said, because I can't take care of you. I said, but God told me to come over here and to tell you to fight the good fight of faith, to believe him to deliver you. Stop looking at your circumstances and believe him. Yeah, but then the wife, she said, well, you know, I believe, you know, the Bible says God giveth and God taketh away. I've got a little prideful, and so God's taken away. I said, no, we ain't going to use Job. Where'd Jesus say that? Where'd Paul say that? I said, Job wasn't born again. We're born again. Job didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Job didn't have the power of Jesus' name, and we got the power of Jesus' name. I said, Job didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't have this. He didn't have this part. I said, no. I said, you can't use that as a doctrine. There's nowhere else in the scripture, but they believed that God was stripping them and Satan was doing it, getting them to do it all the time. through thoughts and emotions. Well, you know what? They wouldn't get up and fight, believe that God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I said, no, that's not what God's saying. But you know what? I went through basically the same thing. And Satan, he couldn't pull that on me. He couldn't say, God's stripping you because you ain't perfect. God, you got to watch that devil. He's not stripping you. God won't strip you. You strip yourself. You lay down the sword. You lay down the faith. You lay down the fight. It ain't God. God says all things are possible to those that believe. See, you got to believe to see God's goodness and deliver you in the middle of your troubles. When unexpected things happen, I've been in things where I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna kill me. This is gonna crush me. This is going to ruin my faith reputation. But you know what? If you walk in faith, it'll just bring out the glory of faith. There's a glory in faith. Well, you know what? Praise God. I started facing that same situation later on down the road, bless God. And I took that scripture after I got adjusted all of it, and the Lord came to them. You will not lose without God gives you the direction to not. You'll have to not follow it. He'll make a way. Happened to me and Teresa, praise God. You know the story, but in a lot of what I'm preaching tonight, you got to believe to see the goodness of God and stay that your answer is what the Bible says. That's all the evidence you need to know. The outward evidence can be telling you there's no way. You're going under. Lawyers told me that. I mean, there's no way. You don't have no choice, blah, blah, blah. There's always a choice to believe God. Always. Well, once I did that, praise God, and I turned to the Lord and I repented of my unbelief, you know, because I got in the emotional part of it and fear Travis and them going to be kicked out on the streets. They were living on my property and all of that stuff. You know, I started reasoning it out. See, don't reason out in your struggles. Don't start reasoning out why you need to worry and you need to be overly concerned. I'm not saying don't care about nothing. You know, but don't be anxious about it. Don't be overtook by it. Don't let it take you over to where it contaminates your faith. And so anyways, when I turned to the Lord, see, what I did is I started believing to see the goodness of God. And y'all know the story. I don't owe not one man, not one penny. And I lost a garbage dumpster through all of that. A good old garbage dumpster. Stinking thing anyway. But you know, I come out and I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, I didn't lay it down. Thank you, Lord, I didn't quit believing. Oh, glory to God, you even helped me to believe, Lord. You helped me because I turned to your scripture and faith comes by hearing. He even helped me have the faith, Johnny. He even helped me have the faith when I turned to that word and I turned away from my carnality and carnal thinking. I turned to the word and here comes faith from the word of God. Came up in there and I thought, glory to God, no man leaves father and mother, lands, brothers and sisters for my sake in the gospels and loses anything, but he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. And I held on to that scripture, bless God, and I've got both of them. It's true. The word's true. You might not be facing nothing right now, and I'm going to believe God you don't face nothing. But if you do. But if you do, just remember one thing. I'm going to believe to see the goodness of God. That's what the psalmist David said. I believe it's Psalms 37. He said, I would have fainted. He was facing some tough stuff, man. I mean, really tough stuff in there. I mean, you know, He said, I would have fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And God showed up for him. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what Israel's facing, no weapons formed against them will prosper. I'm praying that they get saved. Israel, the majority of Israelites are backslidden. He said he came to his own and his own received him not. So I told God, let the gospel go in. Let the United States stand, us standing with our friend, show the Christianity, you know, the way that Jesus is the way. He is the way to be born again. He is the way. God is for them. He's not against them. And he's got us united in faith, standing with Israel, because he promised us that he would bless those that blesses Israel. He would curse those that curses Israel. And so, you know, I mean, we're living in a time, in a world, this world. I don't know this world like I did 10 years ago. The things that are going on, the ungodliness that's rose up. But did you get to hear the House Speaker's speech? Yes. I sat there and I listened to that. He brought up God. He brought up the Lord. He brought up his wife, had been on her knees praying in faith for this to happen. Not him. He's one of the least knowledgeable in the Congress, right? In the House Speaker. That's a good thing. He's not all, you know, in the words that he was saying in here. I'm looking in here and I'm saying, God, this gives me peace, what he's saying. Because if he will do what he's saying, now he's going to have the pressure when he comes down into the battle. To give up your convictions. That's all of us. We might not be the House Speaker, but bless God, we come in here, we get trained up, and then we get out there into battle. Now we got a different ball game. It's easier than just saying, bless the name of the Lord. Now you got to stay with your convictions, stay with your dreams. Just like him, I'm believing God to anoint him, to stay with what he said. He brought up the Constitution. He brought up working and serving the people and demoralizing and bringing the power of government down. He said it. I thought, I've not heard that in a while. All I know is they're the elite up there and smarter than we are. We're the dogs down here. They just don't know how anointed we are, how we're getting these people in there through our prayer and believing to see the goodness of God all the way to the White House. We're believing to see the goodness of God. I don't care if an animal's in there. He can speak to a donkey and that donkey can preach. See, it don't make no difference to me. I'm believing to see the power of God, the goodness of God in the land of the living. And the ones that he anoints to come up in there, praise God, he even told them, he said, every one of us that are here, God put us here. And God has a reason. Well, now your heart can be in a place and God has a purpose, but your heart turned from him. That still don't change God's purpose. That still don't change. And I thought, man, these people are hearing an anointed truth here. And they're having to sit here and search their hearts. And they, some of them stand in ovation. They, some of them sitting there like this. And I'm like, they're the one. They don't agree. He's talking about liberty here. The pursuit of righteousness. Praise God. But see, when you get in the battle is when you can turn loose. Just like I talked about in my house. I would have lost my house. I mean, I felt like at one time, I felt like I would rather live in that broken down trailer that I had up there with a 2x4 holding the bedroom ceiling up than live in all of this pressure. And the Lord said, this is the enemy telling you that. He said, that was poverty. You're in wealth. He said, you just have the pressures of keeping the things that I promised you. He said, but you give me the pressures and I'll keep it for you. And so once you believe to see God's goodness, that's your way of giving it to him. That's your way of staying in faith. You're in faith. You don't have to feel like you're in faith. Faith is the force of God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. We're in the best days we ever been in to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Just fast and pray. Keep that devil under your feet. Don't listen to him. Don't even talk to him. If he tells you don't feel good, don't get up in the mirror and say, I feel good. Da-na-na-na-na-na, like I knew I would. Da-na-na. If you don't think you look good, get in the mirror and say, woo, hey, good looking. What you got to cook and hope it's something good for me, whatever it is. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, yeah, you heard that song? You know that song? And I said, nah, man, I don't know that song, you know. I tried to forget all that songs. All I know now is songs of the Lord. And that's all I want to know, praise God, hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, when the battle's on, praise God, hallelujah, just bear up. Monty, and I'm going to tell this and quit because I know y'all all got to get up early. God will anoint you, though. Monty, he's working at that wall pole, woo pole, or whatever it was. And I didn't really know his challenge. But he had to work all night, come down to the giveaway, and then go back home, and then go work all night, and then come do Sunday school. I know him as well as it me. You don't feel like you can do it. There's times you don't feel like you can do it, but he'd say, I'm going to do it anyhow. Well, I told him, I said, yeah, and you're anointed. I said, you went through that, and you wouldn't lay down in the heat of the battle the things you felt God wanted you to do. Pray God, and now the anointing, and it's just increasing in the men's meeting. If I was y'all men, ain't no way I wouldn't go. I got to work. Call in sick like you used to. Hey, Jack, I'm not sick, but I got some food going on at the house of the Lord this Saturday. Praise God that I just can't miss. It's heavenly. What does it taste like? I don't know. I'm going to go taste it, though, and see. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I told Monty, I said, it's going to grow. You're anointed. I said, the church is going to grow. We got a new family probably going to come this Sunday. I said, we're going to grow. They're going to come. So if y'all ain't comfortable in the midst of a lot of people, start fasting and praying now, because I'm just telling you, because if you don't, you will quit this place. They'll get you parking spot. I mean, they're going, they'll scratch your doors up. They'll hit your car when they're coming in.